There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
From your blade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I also think that there's something to, like, the idea that they are misrepresenting Satanism and they're going for something deeper and darker.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Deeper, darker.
Deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, go deep. Pump.
Pump. Pump my rump. Pump, I want you to pump my dump.
Until fucking cum comes out of her eyes.
Come on her. Come yeah. on her. All right. Like a toaster strudel.
Welcome to the show, everyone. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. As always, we're joined by a fella. He's in Atlanta now.
Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Henry Zabrowski, and I have been recorded saying that I will come on the woman like a toaster strudel. So thank
really?
You.
Really?
Yes. You just did it.
Oh, yeah. You just said it, but not you before said, that.
But though. I did say it, and I did say it into a microphone.
Right.
And I'm not going to be president.
Well, I mean, you know, not if you come on a woman like a toaster strudel, but apparently a small child.
Absolutely.
That will still allow you to be president, and that bleeds into today's subject, Satanism in government.
All right. Now, once again, I'm going to say, we're talking a lot about this, and there's a lot of fucking shit being thrown at our precious Satanism. And I think that it's got a bad rap. We've been saying this since we began this television show that we're on right now.
No, you're doing a television show. This is a
I'm
podcast.
I'm not on television right now.
No, not right now. Thank God, because you're breaking about every FCC rule.
No, but it's just remember, Satanism is a pure expression of human rights to be an individual, okay? So just take that into mind when we begin to describe Satanism.
And by the way, this is the first of a two-part series. This is big. So massive, so big. You know, I will say, honestly, this is the first subject that we have ever researched that has ever given me nightmares.
Yeah, you had nightmares after the one day of research with
this. Yes, one day of research, and I've had nightmares for the last two nights about this stuff. I can't sleep.
And what have your dreams been about?
I consider them to be nice dreams.
Yeah. Well, one man's nightmare is another Henry Zabrowski sweet Z dream.
Hey, well, it's just being present at these sort of parties that these men in government throw and being present about all these places where all these horrible things are happening, witnessing them and not being able to do anything about it.
That's very sad.
But it's very funny to sit at lunch with your boss, Dave Willis, and try to describe to him what I've been researching in my trailer all day. And he's just like, what? He's like, don't fucking tell me this stuff. And I was like, it's real. It's real. It's going on. We're a party to it.
Yeah, I tried telling your sister about it last night. She wasn't having none of it.
Jackie didn't like it, huh?
No, Jackie Zabrowski did not enjoy the conversation that I had with her about the Franklin cover-up. But that's going to be coming in the second episode.
Absolutely.
Right now, let's talk about the satanic origins of the United States.
That's
this goes all the way back to the year 1590 with Sir Francis Bacon, who...
Yeah,
Francis
when everyone Bacon. Wore wood shoes and wore stinky, thick pants, and everyone had powder in their hair. So remember, again, these are the circumstances we're in.
That's right.
So Francis Bacon, he claimed that North America was going to be established as the new Atlantis.
Okay.
Woo!
Yeah, that's fun stuff.
And as we know about Atlantis, is that Atlantis, the people of Atlantis, had very powerful occult ways about themselves, mm-hmm. so much so that their third eye was actually visible on their heads.
That's a freakish looking people.
And, of course, the United States, that was planned to be a whole new Atlantis that would lead the rest of the world into an occult heaven known as the New World Order, in which the Antichrist would rule for 1,000 years. Now, that's what we're starting with.
Oh, I see. So, technically, we're living... This is heaven on Earth, what we're living in now?
The New World Order version of heaven on Earth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
actually...
You would have taken a roller coaster to work every day.
Right, yeah.
You know, this was the stuff we missed. Everyone would get free eggnog.
Yeah.
All day long.
You know what, though? Actually, if that's your idea of heaven, I'm not with that one either. I'm not with the Zabrowski. Imagine taking a roller coaster to work every day. You just woke up. And you're like, do I have to be terrified? At some point, it's not fun anymore. You're just like, I'm sick of the ups and downs.
And you're covered in eggnog because your coffee.
Constantly. Trying to drink eggnog on the go.
Sometime I am I gotta say, Martha, and I probably shouldn't be saying this out loud, but I'm kind of getting sick of having Satan be president. I have all this curdled eggnog on my pants.
Not so bad.
So the founding fathers, they were, I mean, it's very well documented that Francis Bacon was a huge influence on the founding fathers, as much as also guys like John Locke, a lot of the...
the thinkers of the time.
Yes, the thinkers of the time.
And then was they were he a like political... David Bowie's to them.
Yeah, they were. Was he an aide to these people as well?
No, Francis Bacon was centuries before America came into being. But the biggest thinker that influenced America was Benjamin Franklin, who
sweet Benjamin Franklin.
Sweet Benjamin Franklin. He held many different positions. He was the head of the Masonic Lodge of Philadelphia in France. He was master of the Nine Sisters Lodge, from which sprang the French Revolution.
That's a prostitute house, right? That's a whorehouse.
That's definitely a whorehouse.
Right? Because it's called the Nine Sisters, and there's probably nine, at least eight girls, and one of them died. Probably. Yeah. At the very beginning.
But they still kept her in the room because you never know who's walking in with what fetish, you know?
But the most infamous society that Benjamin Franklin belonged to was the Hellfire Club.
I love this name, Hellfire Club.
Hellfire Club's fantastic.
It's pretty sweet. Now, honestly, what was the Hellfire Club? It's just everyone having sex with each other like a bunch of snakes, right? It's just everyone's getting covered in wine and having sex on rugs.
Well...
I feel like that's actually a better term for when you have to do a bukkake, just like time to swallow the hellfire. Funnel it down.
Well, I have a description of what the Hellfire Club was. The source I have from this is an article called Ben Franklin and His Membership in the Hellfire Club, Founding Father or Satanic Killer.
What's this article going to be all about?
I think they're going to skew towards Satanic Killer. I don't mean to jump ahead.
They say that the Hellfire Club was an exclusive English club that met sporadically during the mid-18th century. Its purpose, at best, was to mock traditional religion and conduct orgies. At worst, it involved the indulgence of satanic rites and sacrifices. Mm-hmm. The club to which Franklin belonged was established by Francis Dashwood, a member of Parliament, a friend of Franklin, and a notorious rake at the time.
All right, so just really quickly here. Benjamin Franklin was a hideous-looking man.
Oh, yeah, but he got laid constantly, and not just by prostitutes.
Right. I mean, but he was pretty average-looking for the time. There was a lot of folks that looked like Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
No,
the ugliest orgies I can ever imagine.
Oh, yeah, no one was pretty.
No one.
I mean, until now, and no one's been pretty until a year ago.
I feel like the whole room must smell like when a homeless man comes on the subway who hasn't bathed in 3 weeks.
They literally cover themselves in powder. They have cones of cologne that were just solid, just whatever it was. It was pulled from a bog. It was like a root that they shave the sides off it. They just rub it all over each other. Nobody bathed, and you bathe once a month, and it's a fucking celebration when you do.
Right. The best smelling person smelled like rhubarb, and they're like, "Wow, you're really clean today."
Exactly, and it with the hot people, because the problem was we said this before during the actual the witch hunt periods of time, they killed all the hot people. Yeah. That's why they didn't breed into the rest of society for so long. Because the hot women with the big breasts that were perts, even though they're wearing just robes, they were witches and they had to be burned to the stake.
That's a terrible time in human history.
So continuing, the club, which consisted of the superior order of 12 members, allegedly took part in basic forms of satanic worship. In addition to taking part in the occult, orgies, and parties with prostitutes, they also indulged in human sacrifice. Now, this does have some factual basis. For in 1998, the Sunday Times in London reported that 10 bodies were dug up from beneath Benjamin Franklin's home at 36 Craven Street in London.
So Benjamin Franklin's sort of like the John Wayne Gacy of the Founding Fathers, just a bunch of people in his crawl space. Is that the deal?
4 adults and 6 children. They were discovered during a costly renovation. The Times reported that, quote, initial estimates are that the bones are about 200 years old and were buried at the time Franklin was living in the house, which was his home from 1757 to 1762 and from 1764 to 1775. Most of the bones show signs of having been dissected, sawn, or cut, and one skull had been drilled with several holes.
Benjamin Franklin was a scientist. Okay. He started off as a scientist. He became a politician. It's like Al Franken started as a subversive comedian, became president. What is his position?
I believe he's a senator.
He's a senator.
Yeah.
Benjamin Franklin started off as a scientist, so he had to learn about the human body in order to learn how to he could fuck so good.
Right, right. That's a good point. Yeah, all of his science was just...
All these guys did cryptic shit, though.
Yeah. What would a basic satanic... ritual entail?
Basic satanic rituals. All right, here's how it goes with satanic sacrifices, at the very least, while we're on the subject of human sacrifice, is that it's said that the younger and more pure that a soul is when you sacrifice it, and also the more torture and the more painful death that the person goes through, the more actual energy comes out of this person, which the sacrificial leader uses to add to his own power.
So sort of like a Ghostbuster, a ghost getting busted from the Ghostbusters. But that's interesting. That actually reminds me way back in the day when we did our pilot for Sirius Radio, Open Lines.
Yes.
We had the I believe it was an ER nurse, I believe, was talking about when children die, she feels more of a rush, more of an energy come from the children.
Yeah.
So this
Absolutely,
is really...
they're like big, thick, dark purple grapes.
Yeah.
Soul energy. And you just want to pop them. Every time I see a kid, I'm just like, man, if I just sucked out your eyeballs, I'd get my hair back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's the difference between squeezing a grape and squeezing a raisin. You're going to get more out of a grape.
So
yeah, I'm sick of squeezing raisins.
That's yeah, but stop squeezing raisins, Henry. What's wrong with you?
I've been squeezing my raisins so much, they won't give me lotion. That's what's they've literally cut me off from lotion.
So you're just the guy in the set who squeezes all the raisins at the food tray and then talks about the satanic overlords.
If you put them next to your chest, they're like hard little nipples.
Why do we hire him again?
He's just so funny.
So now, and also Benjamin Franklin, in addition to a lot of the other founding fathers, we all know they were all Freemasons. Like that's general knowledge.
And again, this was just a place, most of the time it was just a place for them to get properly drunk.
Yeah.
Away from their families.
Oh, definitely.
Which I understand. But then, I mean, we've been having sex with boys for a long time.
People.
All right.
Not us. No.
Not us.
Yeah, rephrase, please.
So we've got all of these Freemasons. They're all coming together. They've all got this Francis Bacon mindset in their head. Then it comes to this.
Yeah, everyone's ironing their fucking aprons. Everyone's putting their funny hats on, you know, going on about how they're going to make the New World Order. It's eating cocktail wieners.
So this is when they get together for the declaration, the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
After a huge orgy.
Well, I mean,
they're all fully milked. Some kids are dead, and they're like, time to sign some documents.
Well, the timing of the declaration, July 4th, 1776, was carefully calculated according to satanic doctrine, as July 4th is exactly the 66th day following the beginning of a satanic high holy period called Beltane, which begins on April 30th.
Okay.
Yeah, so the number 66 is the occult number for the perfect government of the perfect man, who is represented by the number 666. Therefore, by waiting for the 66th day following Beltane to establish the United States of America, Masonic forefathers were telling fellow adepts throughout the world and through time that America was going to be the new Atlantis, the forerunner of the perfect global government of the Antichrist.
Now, we're sure that it wasn't just because they were all on vacation, right? Yeah. And they had to wait until everyone got back because they all did wine tours.
But why did they want to be the new Atlantis so bad? I mean, everyone died. They're all drowned. They're in the bottom of the sea.
That's a first draft.
Absolutely. No, you got to get to the final cut. This Atlantis was the psychic hotspot. Basically, you know, people talk about consciousness developed from Atlantis, that it was brought here by ancient space Jews. Do you remember that?
What was that, Henry?
Ancient space Jews that came here through those giant, what was it, the tetragraphs, so the big, you know, Jewish stars made out of stones that were portal entryways on Mars. They came here through Atlantis. They taught us how to read and write with giant lizards and then the people with the eyes in their forehead that I assume must have freaked everybody out.
Oh, yeah.
More than anything else, that would really, when you, because you know with the third eye, like when it blinks, it goes like... And that's disgusting.
Yeah, you got to lube that up. You got to lube up that third eye. Maybe no tear ducts in the third eye.
what we see also a lot in the in these discussions about like secret satanic involvement in the government is it's all about the ends. It's everything is a means to an end.
Oh, it's
so
an
it's
not,
it's about killing everybody in order to get a perfect society.
And so we've got the Declaration of Independence, which was signed in Philadelphia. A lot of, you know, most of the biggest thinkers and biggest people at this time were up in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Now, you ask yourself, this is a question that many people have asked many times throughout the years. Why the fuck is the nation's capital in a swamp in Maryland?
Washington, D.C.
Why is Washington, D.C. our nation's capital? A fucking out-of-the-way, backwater, swampy, hot, terrible place.
Yeah.
All things considered, why is the capital there?
You're really ragging on Washington, D.C. right now, and we're going to get letters.
You know, a lot of people like D.C., but some folks don't. But Marcus has a very interesting theory about it.
It is believed that a very powerful vortex is located on Washington, D.C.,
I could tell. Okay. Absolutely. Because every time I go, it's like my balls hang an inch lower.
Yeah, yeah.
So Washington, D.C., if you'll also notice, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you'll notice that it is a notoriously difficult town to get around.
The traffic is terrible.
The traffic
is
terrible.
The streets make no sense.
The streets make no sense. Yeah. There are streets there that are one way from 3 to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And two way from 6 to 9, and then one way again from 9 to midnight. Yeah. Like, it just, it changes so much. It's a very difficult town
There's
to get
a bunch
in.
A bunch of people there. They're huge, giant people, and then you look at them, and you're like, wake up. And then someone's like, that's the Lincoln Memorial.
This is why we have this lame duck Congress that we got going on, because everyone's stuck in traffic and it's a problem.
So the reason why this is so, the reason why it's in this terrible place, the reason why the city's put together so badly is because the Masonic planners of Washington, D.C. originally conceived that the street designs would be laid out in the most powerful satanic symbols possible so that the entire federal government complex would reverberate with satanic power. You will look at the...
Yeah. So you're telling me a pentagram doesn't create the greatest highway system?
No, a pentagram
just
does
sort of
not.
Runs into each other a whole bunch of times. Huh?
And in fact, it is a pentagram, the goat's head of Mendez, the five-sided pentagram, of which the bottom of the pentagram is the White House.
Ooh, very interesting.
So it is said that the power of Satan is continuously flowing through the White House, and the President of the United States, if he is a practicing occultist, would be infused with incredible occult power as he directed the affairs of state and when he met with foreign leaders.
More of the question is if he's not. It's more obvious that he is. The other
thing
is
sort of a satanic feng shui situation.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. It really is. And there's also there's a Masonic compass embedded in Washington, D.C. You've got the Washington Monument, which is the world's largest obelisk, which the obelisk is very important in occultist lore.
Yeah, because it looks like a big old dick.
Yeah. I mean, for
and that's
one.
A very, actually, very important. I'm not even being an asshole.
No,
it has to be a big, powerful phallic symbol.
Yeah,
properly put it. But then again, we got to talk about the fact that this is also coming from the damning of Satanism. This is saying Satanism is this totally dark, horrible thing. When really the roots come from the goat head is the head of Baphomet, the god of duality. Like, it was about accepting the idea that there is both a reality and a sub reality, and that there's a consciousness and it's getting fucked. So the symbol for me is good.
Yeah. I mean, but it's just not good for traffic. It's not good.
No, it's terrible for traffic.
Bad city planning.
That's why you can't have a wizard be a civil engineer.
That's right. Yeah.
Also, Washington, D.C. is allegedly laid out according to the plans of the ancient city of Babylon.
Okay.
Mm.
Now, making
How was
America
Babylon laid out?
Like Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the radiance in the city, of course, all of this is laid out with radiance in order to gather the most power possible from the vortex. They were imposed upon a grid of streets oriented on a north-south line in a fashion which some historians, of course, trace back to Roman foundation, others to the plans of Babylon. If I may read from the Bible, Revelations chapter 18.
This is the third episode in a row that you read from this fucking Bible.
A lot of Bible talk going on.
But this is Revelation. Yeah, this is the best one. Yes, yes. This is a fucking, and yeah, don't blame me if the Bible keeps coming up over and over again. It just does.
The Bible is a great satanic book.
Absolutely. Revelations is the holy diver of the Bible.
And he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon the Great is fallen and is become the resort of demons and the dwelling place of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine in the wrath of her passionate unchastity, and the leaders of the earth have committed fornication with her, businessmen of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Now, what does that sound like?
I love it. I love the term resort, too, because I couldn't help but think it's just a sandals for demons. Just like a sandals resort. They're like, I don't want to go to Babylon anymore. It's cheap. It's generic. Can't we go somewhere unique? Shut up, demon
wife.
All the
demons go to Babylon in June, all right? I want to go to Babylon in December for Christmas time.
Yeah, and if we stay for 3 nights, we get the fourth night free. So we're going to Babylon.
So back to the Declaration of Independence.
All the towels on the beds, you know, on cruises, they like tie them up and they like, make them look like animals and stuff. They all just look like dicks and pussies. It's like, it is kind of fun. I do like what they do with the towels.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah.
So back to the Declaration very quickly. That the Declaration of Independence was signed while the star Sirius was in its most prominent position. Now, Sirius goes back to ancient Egyptian lore. It goes back to gods like Anubis. It is also known by another word, Set, which brings us to our next topic.
All right. Well, this is the Temple of Set, and this is about this Aquino character.
Michael Aquino.
This is Michael Aquino, Lieutenant Colonel of Michael Aquino.
We're jumping. We're coming back.
So now we're back into, we're in the 70s, 80s here.
Yeah, we're around
in the 70s. About 100 years, or 200 years.
200 years, real fast.
Yeah.
Put your slotted sunglasses on and get in your charger and listen to Pour Some Sugar on Me, because we're about to go way back to the 80s with Michael Aquino and the Temple of Set. I was also going to say that the star Sirius was also apparently what the Sphinx was built to locate, and Sirius is also possibly where our ancient ancestors came from, which is how all of this can maybe feed into that they're not actually worshiping Satan, they're worshiping some ancient alien race, the Nephilim, which show up in Noah. I'm going to bust that spoil right there for you. There's aliens
in Noah, the movie Noah, the Nephilim show up.
It's the aliens and lasers. Go see it, it's pretty great. The Temple of Set is a left-hand path initiatory order, which basically means, you know, a place where people, you know, have lip rings and wear black robes.
Yes.
It was found in 1975 by a man named Michael Aquino. Michael Aquino was a lieutenant colonel. He worked for the CIA and and PSYOPs, right? Basically, he worked for psychological warfare, but he was truly the head of the Temple of Set. Now, the Temple of Set broke off from the actual Church of Satan because basically it was like Michael Aquino woke up one day. Because the Church of Satan, everyone agreed that, like, that Anton LaVey was the chosen one by Satan. Mm-hmm. And then one day, literally, Michael Aquino woke up and said, I think it's me.
Yeah. And if, you know, I judge all Satanist leaders by their eyebrows. And Mr. Aquino has some of the greatest eyebrows I've ever seen, much better than LaVey.
I mean, he has horns on his eyebrows.
It's phenomenal stuff. And he doesn't shave. He doesn't wake up every morning and meticulously pluck. No, he was just born that way.
Also, I honestly think a lot of his problems that we're going to see that pop up are because he dresses like Eddie Munster.
Yeah, he does.
People have a problem with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the major issue. I don't think it's so much a religious bias as it is fashion, please, coming through. Very, very aggressive dresser.
Yeah. Michael Aquino was a lieutenant colonel, worked for the CIA. He also was openly a Satan worshiper. Well, not technically a Satan worshiper. The Temple of Set actually worshiped what we talked about, Set, which was an entity in Egyptian, like basically an Egyptian god who they connected to because he believed that he was the vision of the human unconsciousness. The idea of the Temple of Set is what they want to do is they want to prepare your unconsciousness to basically just like shoot up out of your body, and that because that's what's important is that most other like occult societies, they want you to join up to like the universe as one gigantic mechanism, but this is more like each soul is a precious little egg and must be you, like, and it's your responsibility as a human being to make your soul as powerful as humanly possible.
So it's a very like self-interest religion.
Yes,
it's very much like you're your own god, you're in control of your own destiny. There's not like an overall organization where it's like, you know, we all believe that Jesus is the Lord. Everyone agrees that they themselves are gods.
What they basically say in this is that it's not really a satanic, it's not a Satan worshiping entity. It's an actor in the satanic milieu. That's what he said, right?
Milieu?
So they call milieu.
Oh.
You're French for farty group.
Yeah.
Oui.
So they call the soul the black flame or the gift of Set. They don't believe in an actual deity. That was his problem with Anton LaVey, is that he was like, well, Anton LaVey is making Satanism out to be this big carnival thing, and it was about the spectacle, which Anton LaVey thought was very important because it's about appearances. But he was like, he was not into it, and they don't actually think that Set is real. So it's like, it's all about human actualization, and it's very selfish. So he worked for the CIA under this thing called, for PSYOPs. Like, and his job was doing psychological warfare. And he created this thing called Mind War.
No shit, which was called Mind War.
Yeah.
Mind War. It's very aggressive. And that's what he said. It was purposely aggressive because the idea was you not just convince the enemy that you're going to win using psychological warfare. You convince your allies and people who are neutral to you that no matter what you do, you're going to win this war.
Yeah, it's
and
like so what Muhammad Ali used to do at a press conference.
Oh, yes.
You just let everybody know, really get in there. And, you know, there is some truth to this. I can imagine as a young brains are a little bit more influential than adult brains. If you recall the goth phase of the early 90s, all those kids looked quite a bit of keynote. Hot Topic, yes. we could give credit to Mr. Aquino for that little company.
I'll remake the world in my image.
Yeah, it turns out it's just everything will be like a bad New Jersey mall store.
Everyone will have a bowl cut in my satanic future. So in 1999, basically what came out was Paul A. Bernanke sued the American government, and basically through this weird civil suit, he basically said that I was molested as a child by Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino as a part of this CIA pedophile ring. Yeah. And they looked at all of his stuff, and they did give him $1 million in a settlement for damages. And basically what you find out is that this woman, Noreen Gouche, stunned the court with sworn testimony linking U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino to the nationwide pedophile ring. Her son, Johnny, which is just a molestable kid's name.
Always.
You got to call him Thor or something if you don't want him to be a victim. All right. He was 12 years old. He was kidnapped on the streets of West Des Moines, Iowa. And he was doing a newspaper delivery. Again, molestable job.
Yeah. Do not deliver the newspapers.
Don't deliver the newspaper. And that basically she found out through her investigations is that finding her son again, he basically said that this man that they all called the Colonel, who looked like Michael Aquino, came in and he was, the actual statement is, there was a man by the name of Michael Aquino. He was in the military. He had top Pentagon clearances. He was a pedophile. He was a Satanist. He's founded the Temple of Set, and he was a close friend of Anton LaVey. The two of them were active in ritualistic sexual abuse, and they deferred funding from this government program that they were using in order to experiment psychologically on children, which we know has happened before.
Yes, and what operation was this? Is this what is this, Monarch, or
this has no name? This is after the 19 because this is the 1980s. MK Ultra was officially closed in like 1962.
Yeah.
But ever since then, this research has kind of proliferated through a bunch of black op programs. Like they haven't stopped. Obviously, and it's the same story we hear again and again, is that these kids are being used to broken down. It's the same story that's happening in the 1980s. They're being used to frame the foreign dignitaries. They're being used as spies. They're being used as like all this stuff, and they're shattering their personality by using ritualistic imagery to basically key into your fucking subconscious. And because we respond to those ancient symbols, we respond to the ritual.
Right.
And basically to make super spies. And then, but you know, but then again, then I mean,
they didn't really make super spies. They pretty much just destroyed a bunch of kids' lives.
Yeah.
Yes. And they made a bunch of 7-Eleven cashiers.
Right. Always crying. And you're like, I don't know why my 7-Eleven cashier just hates when I get the double Slurpee. I don't know what's happening.
But the sounds of a Slurpee.
Yeah. Just not good. Makes him tear up. But these kids, after they, do we want to get into this stuff?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So after these kids were like violently molested by a whole bunch of very powerful people, they were completely railroaded by the system, and they were made
This is going to be next.
This is okay.
That's going to be next.
Oh, this is this whole thing, but basically, that's just, there's no real. It's they were never. I didn't read any real witness testimony because it all got thrown out.
Yeah.
But there are people who came fact that basically that. You know, to be honest, again, I think that Michael Aquino himself, because Temple of Set is actually not. It's not as intense as the other satanic religion. It's actually kind of a floofy do nerd thing because it's an intellectual version of Satanism. I don't know if he was involved in it. I can see how it worked with his PSYOPs program. Again, I just think that this is defamation of Satanism and they pinned it on him because he dressed like he's from the fucking Adams family and he didn't even think, man, put on a suit.
Yeah,
I mean,
suit would be
here good. Are the degrees of the Temple of Set.
Yeah.
The Setian, the Adept, the priest or priestess, the magister or magistra, the magus or maga, or the highest level is called the ipposismus.
The ipposismus. And then, of course, that's all. Yeah, exactly. That's all under the tent of nerd.
But he also said that he had also kind of a problem with Nazi symbolism. And it's like basically, where is this?
Was he fired from the CIA?
No, he became the head of the NSA at one point.
And so, as the head of the NSA, he was a known Satanist. Like they didn't fire him for his religion whatsoever.
No.
As a matter of fact, they encouraged it.
I mean,
right here. Indeed, the Pentagon had already given its de facto blessings to Aquino's longstanding public association with the Church of Satan. His own successor church, what he's made is the Temple of Set. They thought that they were really into it, but the problem is his problem was that they had to keep it real secret is that a lot of the satanic activities involved overt support for neo-Nazi movements, which is kind of intense. On October 10th, 1983, while traveling in West Germany on official NATO business, Aquino staged a satanic working, which is what they called these rituals. They call them working, right? At the Wewelsburg. In Bavaria, he wrote a lengthy account of the ritual in which he invoked Nazi SS chief Heinrich Himmler. And what he says here, as at the Wewelsburg, was conceived by Heinrich Himmler to be the Mittelpunkt der Welt, middle of the world, as the focus of the Hall of the Dead was to be the gate of the center to summon the powers of darkness at their most powerful locus, which I'm sure is really hard to do when you have to write out, you know, like when you get your expense form and you say, well, we ate here and we ate here. And it's just like, what's with all the brats shipped to this castle? And you're just like, oh, we had to go to the Hall of the Dead, the gate of the center to summon the powers of darkness at their most powerful locus. Like, oh, okay.
You need a lot of sauerkraut for that.
All of the people that were involved in this ritual, they were all dressed in full Nazi regalia. And the reason why they chose this castle in particular was because this was the castle where the SS was originally created.
Aquino himself was dressed in the Nazi gear as well.
All of them were. I mean, they were all dressed.
Worked for the government after that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it seems like something the NSA would embrace. You know, this sort of personality type that wants to bring about the end of the world. Now, did they? So, what was the point of summoning Himmler?
They did it in order to, because he was the one who said that was the most powerful spiritual location in Germany. And basically the idea is that you go and you dress yourself. I mean, I see the line of logic as much as it's fucked up is that you dress up like Nazis to get a Nazi ghost. So he thinks he's coming to an old fashioned Nazi party and he shows up and he's ready. He's like, there is the toilet Jew. And we're like, no. We want to get into the Hall of the Dead.
Well, I don't know about all that. But yes, that does sound very interesting. Now, he was gay.
Michael Aquino? No. Yeah, he was married. In fact, his wife.
Well, a lot of them were married.
That is true. He did have a constant companion that was a woman that she showed up with. Because Michael Aquino, he was on, like, this wasn't in the background. He was on Oprah talking about this. And his wife was there.
That's how I saw him. And he showed up and he's got his dangly pentagram earrings on. And you're like, bro, just fucking put on a commander's hat and everyone's going to take you a little bit more seriously. But he went on there with his wife and basically said, he was just like, you know, he's like, the Temple of Set is just a place where we roll dice. And I'm an elf sometimes.
Yeah, that is true. If you roll the wrong numbers there with the dice.
Yes.
Well, we talked about, unless Henry, do you have anything else you want to say about Michael Aquino?
Honestly, the problem is like there's of course, the hundreds of that. He's tied to a bunch of stuff. People have been researching him for years and years. He's connected to another group that we'll talk about, which is the Finders, the CIA-sponsored hippie group that was a group of, like, pranksters, kind of like in the movie Funny Games, where it was a bunch of pranksters that lived outside of Washington, D.C. that housed CIA people. He shows up there. He's got a lot of weird connections, but I think a lot of it's just because if you end up being the head of the NSA, you're going to be doing some crooked shit.
Yeah,
right.
And we've said this before, where it's just like, maybe there was kid fucking. I'm not sure if it was done for magic. At this point, the amount of reading I'm done, and see, well, we were not going to even bring up the Franklin cover-up, which is insane. But which is real. But I think these people are fucking kids not because of magic. I think these kids are fucking kids because if you get a bunch of senators in a room to fuck a kid, everybody's going to keep each other's secrets.
Yeah. And it's also the most depraved thing that a human can do. Like these guys that are so powerful and they have so much pressure on them is that they feel like the only way to relieve that pressure is to do the most depraved shit that a human being could possibly do to another human being, which is
get away with
fuck a kid to death.
Yeah.
You know what I think these people need? Bubble wrap. Because that keeps people occupied for hours. Get them one of the big ones with the big fat bubbles on it. And you'll see how little people fuck kids.
No, but it is interesting, and I think there is definitely something to that. Look at that Seville character over there in England.
Jimmy Seville is a part of this.
You know, everybody loved him so much, and just, you know,
Jerry Sandusky is a part of this.
Oh, yeah.
Who's brought up the guy who researched the Franklin cover-up, basically said Sandusky's name popped up like six times. Look at that. College football system and the entertainment business, the government, they're all involved in this gigantic weird ring. And I mean, maybe they're just looking at, maybe they've got a fucking lizard giving them orders.
Maybe.
You know what, man? You were so close to making a valid point.
Yeah. No, but these rings definitely would have to deal with the very wealthy. I mean, kids aren't cheap.
No.
And running a human sex trade operation.
Kids are expensive to get, believe me. I know.
Yeah. Well,
you don't want a for sale kid, too, because a lot of times they're in a wheelchair.
Sure.
Well, Michael Aquino, he was involved, the biggest pedophile ring scandal that he was involved in, and he was connected to a lot of them, but the one he was most closely connected to was the daycare at the Presidio Army Base.
Okay.
Near San Francisco.
Yeah, it's just so disgusting because they've basically found all these kids. Because it was the thing, it's like all these kids come out and they say they were molested and these guys were wearing masks and they were wearing robes. And they knew that they were molested because, six of them, they got chlamydia from it.
Yeah, all these kids had this isn't like McMartin preschool bullshit.
No.
This isn't satanic panic bullshit. There's actual hard evidence behind this shit. Like, it's fucking disgusting because once you start getting all the stuff that people were talking about with daycares in the 80s, there's actual proof that the government was doing this shit, which makes you think that it's possible that the media and the government were in bed with each other, that the media was putting all the attention towards all of these fake satanic panic cases in order to draw the attention away from the actual government quote unquote satanic doings, in which it's not actually satanic. It's possible they just use Satan as
it's a
game.
Scapegoat.
It's a scapegoat. Yeah, and it's also a game that they can play. Yeah. You know, they can play at being Satanists. And then they can go, and it also gets them off that they can be Satanists behind doors. And then once they get outside, and once they get out in the open, then they're Christians, you know, like they talk about how much they love God. That type of shit.
Oh, I mean, of course. I mean, look at Hoover, you know, wearing a dress behind closed doors and hating gays publicly. And that makes him smile and laugh, and he's getting one over on everybody. Yeah. What are some actual examples?
Like Jeffrey Dahmer was a real Jeffrey Dahmer in the bed, and then he was a different kind of Jeffrey Dahmer on the street. You know what I mean? He was Jeffy Jeff in the bed.
Yeah, I don't know if he was ever, I think he wanted to be Jeffy Jeff real bad. I don't know if he ever actually made it to Jeffy Jeff.
No, if he could ever be as smooth as he was is when he was with those headless Filipino boys at the bar, he would have been fine.
I mean, I think that, I bet you that Jeffrey actually was fairly smooth after he created his zombie and the guy was all drugged up. I bet you Jeffrey
got the torso all bent up and he's just like, you want a Cosmo? I remember the first time I had a Cosmo. Oh, I was in Azerbaijan.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hope you like sweet vermouth. Well, I'm going to cut your penis off. I'm going to eat it.
Just makes it a martini, but it's just beer. It's still just beer. Just dumps a PBR can. I learned that I actually wasted a lot of vodka in these zombies before, but then I realized they don't drink it.
They don't really drink it.
Doesn't matter. I don't like vodka that much, so I just put water in it. Yeah, that's one of the trades of being Jeffrey Dahmer. You learn how to do it. But what are some actual examples of the situation with Aquino at this daycare?
Well, at this, it was Presidio Air Force Base. There was the guy that was actually indicted in this case. He was a Baptist minister called Gary Hambright.
Hambright. Oh, yeah. You can't work with kids, Gary. No.
If you got ham in your name, keep your fucking big, thick, ropey fingers off my kids.
Definitely.
He was charged with, this is in 1987, he was charged with lewd and lascivious acts with six boys and four girls, ranging in ages from 3 to 7 years between September and October in 1986.
Okay.
And these kids also said the same thing. They said the where Aquino comes in is that they kept saying at some point during every one of these sessions, the colonel would show up.
Yeah.
Okay.
And not only that, but these kids were able to give detailed descriptions of the Aquino household. When police had talked to him, these kids were given, I mean, such extreme detail of like, this room was this way. There was one girl that she talked about. There was this jewelry box there. Mm-hmm. And she described in detail this jewelry box that was in the Aquino's bedroom. And then the investigator went and bought like a Sears Roebuck catalog. And he opened it up to the jewelry boxes and he says, which one? Like, which of these jewelry boxes did you see? And the kid just immediately pointed that one.
And again, this is where begins this horrible fucking process that I also believe is purposeful, like we just said, that you don't believe the accuser. You don't believe the victim. You come up, you discredit the victim.
And that's exactly why the charges were dropped, because the U.S. attorney, he said that yes, there was clear evidence of child abuse because of the fucking chlamydia.
Right.
He said there was insufficient evidence to link Hambright and the Aquinos to the crimes.
And it's
They're all covering each other's backs like a bunch of fucking snakes.
They are. And it's one of those things, too, where they're just like, well, their testimony can't be trusted. They've been victimized, so their brain's all scrambled.
Yeah.
So they're, they've been raped far too many times to take the stand and take their word seriously. So I don't know what to do about it. It really, it's very easy to make these people look unstable because they are unstable because they've been shattered at the age of 3 years old.
Of course.
They were raped by a colonel in the CIA and a dude wearing a fucking Ronald Reagan mask. And then maybe Don Knotts was there.
Oh, don't bring Don Knotts into this.
I'm just saying.
Come on, shakiest
gun in the
West. Who's innocent
in this world? Who's innocent? Nobody.
Don Knotts is innocent.
Had sex with children in the basement of a preschool.
Why are you making these accusations? Don Knotts and what's the other big fat guy from back in the day that was very funny?
Dom DeLuise.
Not Dom. Well, Dom's innocent. Actually, Dom probably had sex with some kids.
No, Dom DeLuise is innocent.
No, come on. I had sex with some kids kind of laugh.
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah, he's fine. He didn't do nothing.
Nah, he didn't do nothing.
Now we're just naming people.
Well, that same U.S. attorney that got the Aquinos and Hambright off, he was also implicated in efforts to cover up links between the Nicaraguan Contras and the South American cocaine trafficking organization.
We also know was, and that was real.
And Iran-Contra, it not only, it plays into a lot of these. Oh, it plays into this case. It plays into the Franklin cover-up, which we're going to cover in the next episode.
Oliver North definitely had sex with kids.
Absolutely.
No doubt about that.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that Oliver North had sex with kids. In fact, it's possible that he had the worst sex with the kids because he was the one that had to go down for it.
Yeah.
And also, honestly, it's or he never had sex with kids, and that's why he went down for it. It's like that's what's like fucked up because, like, again, I think that points towards what it is a gigantic secret-keeping web. This is not
well. I mean,
like, and they put a face of Satanism on him because it's scary to fucking Martha when she's sitting in the Piggly Wiggly. She's like, "Oh, Satanists are gonna come. They're gonna rape me." And it's like, "No, I don't think they are, Martha." You know,
I mean, you know, yeah. But I do like to see Martha talking about Satanism raping her in a Piggly Wiggly. That's kind of a fun thing to see. But you're right, though, and that's the whole point of these, you know, like Skull and Bones, all these organizations. People do things in public that are embarrassing. I mean, knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
So if you have something over on your counterpart, such as knowing that they had sex with a kid, that's going to keep the peace. That's sort of like mutually assured destruction. If you say something bad about this dude, you both had sex with a kid, and he can destroy you just the same.
Yeah,
absolutely. And everybody else. And it's like, and it's just an all on one scenario. It's like the fucking Hell's Angels where it's just like we all got each other's back. And if one person wiggles, we're going to fucking all torch his ass. We're all going to jump. You know, it's ridiculous.
So, of course, this case, the Presidio case, we know where they got the kids. However, in a lot of these other cases, when you talk about child pedophile rings, you ask yourself, where do these children come from?
Right.
How are these children procured? And the answer, Henry mentioned them a little bit earlier, the answer is a cult named the Finders.
The cult named the Finders is ran by a guy named Marion Petit. Outside of Washington, D.C. Now, what he was is he was a guy that ran an apartment in the 1930s and 1940s that was known as this sort of like hangout for beatniks. It's a free place. The Finders is basically a compound that's got like, you know, a bunch of warehouses in it. And it's just people kind of fucking living free, doing whatever, listening to the radio, wiggle dancing, making crafts. I don't know what they do.
Wiggle dancing and making crafts. That's what they're doing.
That's what they do. So basically, how it all gets tied back in was that basically these two adult males that ended up being they worked for the they worked for the CIA. Michael Houlihan and Douglas Ammerman were found in Tallahassee, Florida. FSU goes Seminoles. Both of them, Washington, D.C. They had been arrested. Basically, there was two well-dressed men were seen taking a group of six dirty, like underfed, sick-looking kids into a van. The cops came up to them and say, "What the fuck are you doing?" They flashed their fucking CIA badges and they're like, "No, no, no, we don't care. Who are these kids?" And so they kind of settled out of pocket secretly. The kids were just sent back to their, basically they were malnourished, they were all fucked up, and they're like, "Oh, please help me, please." Right. And when they talked to these kids, the children, they said, the men were evasive under questioning, and the children were unaware of the functions of telephones, televisions, and toilets, and stated they were not allowed to live indoors and were only given food as a reward. So they sent them back.
Isn't that how you were raised?
Yes. Yeah. That made me creative. These kids are failures.
These kids are absolute failures.
But basically what they found out is that these were two CIA guys that had just spent a bunch of time sleeping in this finder's compound. And then people start doing some research and they realize a lot of CIA guys are staying at the Finders. And a lot of it's because it's a secret place. You can go, you can remain anonymous. And if you need to do some shit, you can kind of park there and it's right outside of your offices. So no one can see you, but they're starting to be like, well, these guys are going to the Finders. We're going to go and basically we're going to raid their warehouses. So police raided their warehouses. They found all of these series of pictures of them in robes with children, goat sacrifices, all this stuff. And then they just let it all go. They just basically threw it all under the bridge. And what they said was, is that basically, like, what the Finder's explanation is that they play games. And it was like, they take all these right. pictures of these funny games. And they were bringing these kids up to this school where they can all be around. They kept using the term intelligent, well-balanced men that will be around them, that can be there for them if they ever feel the need to an adult. But the idea, it's just kids. That's why they didn't know what telephones and toilets were, because there's just a building that there's a bunch of kids just kind of sitting in.
Yeah.
And that they use these Finder programs. So CIA go out and so they take these kids, they pull them off the street, or they buy them.
Right.
There is evidence of actual child auctions.
Okay.
Going on all over the country. Witnesses to these child auctions. Another thing that I think is a difference between this and the Satanic Panic stuff is that I know that it does sound very familiar, and there are people such as this guy Ted Gunderson that links these Finders
Ted
programs.
Ted Gunderson. My name is Ted Gunderson, and I work for the LAFBI agency.
He links a lot of the stuff like the Franklin cover-up and the Finders program to stuff like the McMartin preschool trial. So you do see some sort of Satanic Panic stuff crossover, but there's a big difference. In McMartin preschool, they said that children were being flushed down the toilet into the basement where they were being molested by fucking Motley Crue and being flown across the country in a
J. They checked the tour dates, and they did go through that town, so you don't know.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it was just ridiculous, impossible shit. But this stuff, it's ridiculous, but it is not impossible.
No, the human sex trade is real.
Ken Gunderson came forward and said that these kids were talking about in the McMartin case. They said that they were going through, flushed on the toilet. They said they were going through the bathroom to these tunnels everyone called them crazy. And then Ted Gunderson came out and said, "I found evidence that the tunnels were built and that they were covered up with dirt." And that's
doesn't help the cause too much. But.
Yeah, he had an archaeologist comes in, and basically they dug around, and he said he found a Disney bag in the dirt, like where these tunnels were supposedly were. So he believes that it was just kids were drugged and not remembering well.
Yeah, yeah, no, but. No one got flushed down the toilet.
No one got flushed down the toilet.
Yeah, that's real tough to do.
Yeah,
but although if there is a toilet that could flush a child, I want it not to flush a child, but just after a large Mexican dinner. God
take
knows.
My fucking hangover dump.
Oh my goodness, indeed. But Marcus, real quick, I'm just where? What is this organization? This underground organization of people? You know, they're getting these kids. Like this Gosh kid, he was just a newspaper guy.
Yeah,
newspaper boy. Where do you go after you get abducted initially? You just get picked up by the CIA and they send you down this whole other process.
Yeah, they get you get picked up by the CIA and you either go to this Finder's compound or where you can be put into
the distribution center.
It's a distribution center.
Amazon warehouse, but for kids.
Exactly. You can be sent to a ton of different places. You can be sent to the MK Ultra program.
Okay.
There is, let's see here. They found files. This is all the shit that they found at the Finder's compound.
Okay.
They found information that was specific in describing blood rituals and sexual orgies. Mm-hmm. They had instructions for obtaining children. The instructions included the impregnation of female members of the community, purchasing children, trading and kidnapping. There were telex messages using MCI account numbers between a computer terminal believed to be in the same room and the others located across the country and in foreign locations.
Right.
There were pictures of nude children and adult members of the Finders organization, as well as evidence of high-tech money transfers. There was a file called Pentagon Break-In.
Which seems kind of obvious.
Very obvious.
That's really easy.
You don't put it Pentagon Break-In on a file. You just call it like grandma's soup recipes. Yeah, if you like want that,
it's
bore
like
people.
That the cannibal cop who wanted to cook and eat the woman
and eating Kimberly, a blueprint.
Not a good file. Not gonna hide that from your wife very well.
There are references to activities in Moscow, Hong Kong, China, Malaysia, North Vietnam, North Korea, Africa, London, Germany, the Bahamas. There was a file labeled Palestinian. One telex specifically ordered the purchase of two children in Hong Kong to be arranged through a contact in the Chinese embassy. Other documents identified interests and high-tech transfers to the UK, numerous properties under the control of the Finders, fires, interest in terrorism, explosives, and the evasion of law enforcement. There was a set of instructions that appeared to broadcast via computer, an advisory to the participants to keep children moving through different jurisdictions, and instructions on how to avoid police detection. Photo albums.
It's insane.
Yeah, photo albums of kids and adults participating in blood rituals, children being made to execute goats. This is fucked up. One of them included, the children were doing this, the removal of the testes of a male goat, the discovery of a female goat's womb, and the baby goats inside, also known as kids, the womb, and the presentation of the goat's head to one of the children. Happy birthday.
Wait a second, didn't you also do that in summer camp in Texas?
It does seem like a Texas tradition. Yeah.
That you've done.
So they had women there as well that they would just impregnate every 9 months, and sort of like the Duggar family, 19 and counting. Pretty much how that wife lives every day, just constantly getting pregnant.
Of course, I'd imagine
they have infants on hand in case somebody wants to have sex with an infant.
Yeah, I'd imagine the homegrown ones are more expensive than the ones you kidnap off of the street.
Sure.
Yeah, because that takes a lot of care. Takes a lot more effort. It's like organic produce.
Yes, and because these kids are just getting, shipped all over the world, all over the country, a lot of times people will be like, oh, I saw him over in, Nebraska. And then the other people will be like, I saw him, way over in California. So that might explain all the confusion.
It's possible. It's very possible. But that could also be just, a lot of kids look the same.
Yeah.
The warehouse they were searching, it contained a large library and a video room. And the video room seemed to be set up as a sort of indoctrination center, was how they termed it.
Okay.
And they found all these jars of pee-pee and poo-poo.
Oh, and don't forget the warehouse also had a sauna and a hot tub.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's nice. That's just because we've got to relax.
Yeah.
Kids weren't allowed in there. That's a no kid. That's an adult's room.
Yeah. Well, no kids like a sauna or a hot tub. That's an old man thing.
And this has been going.
Old man.
Like, this sort of stuff has been going on in this location since World War II, back when the CIA was known as the OSS. It's all military intelligence people that are involved in this.
All in this finder's
just hanging
place.
Out. And Marion Petty, but he comes up and he just seems like as a guy. What he keeps saying in this interview I read of him, which was, it's very strange, but he kept saying stuff like, I just keep an open house. I do a lot. He's like, his term is, I considered when I was 12 years old that my mission in life was to know everything and do nothing. That's what he said. He said he's been researching the end. Like, he says that he doesn't know if he's being gamed, but he also doesn't care. He's like, for as far as this interview, he's like, as far as I'm concerned, you could be from the CIA. I don't know anymore. He's like, I tried to get in the CIA and they won't put me in because I won't sign paperwork because I don't like having paycheck stubs. Like, literally, like, very strange, like, to the point where he's just like, he doesn't know what's going on. Like, I don't think he's even a part of it. He just doesn't even know what's going on because it's full of all these fucking spooks. Like, the whole place is full of CIA people all lying to each other. What the hell's going on? Why do you have a fucking warehouse full of kids and a sauna and a video room?
I want to know about the sauna. What's the point of the sauna?
And all of this stuff was found. There were search warrants that searched the Washington, D.C. offices of the finders. They found this shit. They found the warehouse. They found the child pornography. They found pictures of people doing things with children. But all investigation of the finders by the FBI, the U.S. Customs, the local law enforcement, it was all ordered stopped by the U.S. Justice Department on the grounds of national security, and the matter of the finders cult was turned over to the CIA as an internal security matter. Because CIA or because the finders were a CIA front.
That is literally the exact thing that happened to Dahmer's victim, the Filipino kid. When the cops are just like, oh yeah, no, you take him.
You know what? Mr. Dahmer. That is exactly what happened. That. Because the kids that they rescued, you know where they were sent?
Ugh.
Back to the finders.
I'm sure. That is awful.
Right back to the finders. Because they didn't know where else to put them. Because they literally had erased their pass. They didn't know where they were. They didn't know what they were doing. They had been drugged out of their minds. And then Marion Petty came out and said the same thing. He said that I tried to find out if I was. He's literally said, I tried to find out if this was a CIA front. And apparently he had a couple of CIA guys check, and they came back and they said the CIA just literally wrote around, no, we don't got them. Like, literally, like, we don't have them.
Right.
And I was just like, what? So maybe the finders, this finders is, but there's a shit more, or maybe they lie constantly.
Yeah, I think the line in a pedophile ring is a fairly important trait to have.
Yes.
You can't exactly go out there and broadcast it.
Also make a delicious mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, to get the kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. But they say the whole reason why they raise these kids, why they sell these kids, is to fund covert operations. That it's fundraising. So, you know, the money that they, it's black ops budget.
Right. So Girl Scouts sell cookies. The CIA. The government sells Girl Scouts.
The CIA. Yeah. I mean, and it's just this is the Finders. This is a CIA program specifically.
Yes. I guess if you, it would be a real twofer if you got a girl who was a Girl Scout who was happened to be selling cookies at the time. Then you get the girl and the cookies. It's kind of a big
Girl Scout over there. We're not doing girls this week, Jerry. And he's like, but she's got Samoas.
Yes. I do love those. I do love those.
It's really fucked up.
It's amazing. I mean, interesting stuff.
The first part of this episode is like, yeah, that's all goofy and fun, but this stuff.
No, it hasn't been goofy or fun.
I mean, like all the satan, like Benjamin Franklin and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's like goofy, fun shit, you know, but
it's boys club stuff. It's fun stuff.
Yeah, but this stuff is real.
Right.
This is what gave me nightmares. This CIA stuff, and this stuff is fucking nothing compared to the Franklin cover-up. We're going to cover next week.
The Franklin cover-up was fully real, and we know it was real because these people went to jail, and it's crazy. It's insane.
The book that I have in front of me, it's written by this guy, John W. DeCamp. He was a U.S. senator, a very well-respected lawyer, and one of the most decorated Vietnam vets of the entire war. This book that I have, it's almost 400 fucking pages long. It's about this whole case, and it is terrifying.
Yeah, the Franklin cover-up is going to be an amazing episode. So we're just kind of getting there now, so I guess we'll wrap this up.
Yeah.
And
absolutely. Yeah. So, guys, if you need to keep a secret, just do a pinky square. Don't get in a group and fuck a bunch of kids. I think that's what we can take away from this.
Yeah, maybe, I don't even know, maybe pee on each other's feet? maybe something like that. Something embarrassing.
Mildly embarrassing.
That kills athlete's foot.
Yeah. That actually does cure athlete's foot. Huh. That's true. And the television show Friends taught me it cures jellyfish stain.
I got a jellyfish sting. Oh, I'm Joey.
That's some hot stuff, and that's a good accent, Marcus.
Thank you. I'm best at him.
All right, everybody. Make sure you check out Twitter. That's Marcus Parks. That's Henry Loves You, and I'm at Ben Kissel. And, hail yourselves, everybody.
Hail
me.
Hail Gein.
And I guess a nice hail Satan. Yes,
Satan.
Nice.
Say
hail
hi to V. Kelly, who listens to the show all the time, who does makeup on me every day. Hello, V. I'll see you in the morning.
Be sure to go to Facebook, join the Last Podcast Facebook page.
That's right. And I want to thank everyone for coming out to the Last Live Show. It was really great.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
I'm sorry I missed it.
Yeah, I'll be the next one. Yes.
And I'll be taking it back with a fucking fury.
That's good.
I'm going to show my balls.
No, don't.
I'm going to show my balls in the next show.
Only if you wear a Hitler mustache, and then you're allowed to do that. That's the only rule.
Because then I'll be in character.
Right, of course. All right, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Don't have sex with kids. Thanks, guys.